And now we return to an issue that we've been discussing on and off for many years, the vexed question of the safety of genetically modified organisms. Any number of occasions on the program when we've looked sceptically at the issue of GM foods, and we're not alone in our scepticism. As people across the world, farmers and consumers, show some reluctance to embrace GM foods. Now, visiting Australia at the moment is Gilles Seralini, Professor of Molecular Biology at the University of Caen in France, and the leader of the research team from the Committee of Independent Research and Information on Genetic Engineering. He's one of the scientists who've been warning about the dangers linked to GMOs. And joining Gilles tonight, but by no means agreeing with him, is Dr. Paul Brent. Paul's chief scientist with Food Standards Australia New Zealand, and he's unimpressed with Gilles Seralini's scientific methods. Gentlemen, I welcome you both. Gilles, you've reanalysed Monsanto's statistical data on the effect of GMOs on rats. How did you get this information from Monsanto? Did it fall off the back of the proverbial truck?
Hello, sir. It's from Canberra. First of all, I'm happy to be here with you. We had two approaches in my group, which is actually the group that has the most published in peer-reviewed international scientific journals in the world on the effects of GMOs and pesticides associated together, because one must know that GMOs, the actual agricultural edible GMOs, are filled with some kind of new pesticides. And what we did was, in the first instance, to reanalyze the data that have been analyzed by FSANS or by other agencies throughout the world, having the real raw data from Monsanto by court. So Monsanto attacked the German government to avoid to give the 40 blood analysis of rat that had eaten his GMO, and we had those, and we reanalyzed that, and then we reanalyzed three GMOs, and afterwards 19 edible GMOs that you eat every day in Australia, like residues of transgenic soya tolerant to Roundup. So that means that these plants are filled with the major herbicide in the world at some levels, and there are some residues of it in the food, in the feed. And also, we had another experimental approach with this residue directly on human cells at very, very low levels, like 100,000 dilutions from the agricultural working dilutions, and even less than the residues authorized in the food. And we have seen that this create toxic effect on human cells. So we have the both approaches that make GMOs unsafe in our regard.
But Gilles, these are feeding tests only run for
That's right. Only run for three months.
How can that be long enough to get a sense of any chronic problems?
That's right. You are completely right, sir, because in fact, you know that there is an explosion of health risks in the human population, like hormonal diseases, hormonal cancers, or hormone-induced cancers, and hormonally-dependent cancers. Also, you have nervous diseases or immune disease, and they are not linked to new viruses in most of the instances or to new bacteria. They are not linked to a genetic shift of the population within 50 years. In fact, they are linked to environmental causes, and we don't know exactly what they are, but we see that they are more, and more food and feed with some chemical compounds, including pesticides in GMOs, and we are worried about that. And we think that the 90-day test that FSANS or EFSA or FDA accepted, because you know that all the tests were performed by the industry only, FSANS or the authorities in Australia, New Zealand or in Europe, didn't do some experiments.
Take a deep breath, and I'm going to bring Paul Brent in now. LNLRN, brought to you by WikiLeaks, and I'm discussing the safety or otherwise of GM foods. Paul Brent, chief scientist with Food Standards Australia New Zealand. Paul, before we get on to Gilles' work, tell us how Food Standards Australia develops its food safety standards. What are the procedures?
Hi, thanks for inviting me to speak with you tonight. It's a pleasure. Look, I I think what you're asking is how do we do our GM food safety assessments?
Well, I suppose that's the most significant part of our discussion, yeah.
Yeah. Look, we do a comprehensive assessment of the safety of GM foods, and we use internationally accepted methods which have been looked at by the World Health Organization and the OECD and the Codex Alimentarius Commission. So those bodies have developed guidelines in order to do these, to undertake these food safety assessments. And
Paul, just to clarify this, you in fact conduct research. You don't just accept international research. You actually do stuff of your own.
Yeah, we don't do the experiments ourselves. What we do is we assess the experiments that have been done by the applicant, and we also give full consideration to all of the data that's out there that's appropriate and relevant, and that includes Professor Seralini's research.
I'm going to give you a chance to look at that in a minute, but let's remind the listener that currently a wide variety of crops, very significant crops, GM crops, are approved here: rice, lucerne, cotton, sugar beet, potato, corn, canola, and soybean. Mm-hmm. That pretty much covers the spectrum.
Look, it's quite a few. I can tell you that we've approved over 50 GM foods to be imported into Australia. There's only a few that are grown here, such as cotton and canola and some carnations, roses, I think. But obviously we don't eat those. We've approved over 50. I think in Canada the number would be getting close to 100. Same for the US FDA.
Let me ask you this.
About 30.
Have you knocked any applications back?
No, we haven't. We've never had a reason to reject any application so far, because they've all indicated that these GM foods are safe and as nutritious as the conventionally bred foods.
Now, back to you, Gilles. Are that spectrum of crops legally plantable in Europe?
No, and in fact, only the corn, which is a BT corn, is legally planted in Europe. But one must say that beyond all these authorized crops, only a few of those are actually consumed by Australian people, including mostly residues of soya, transgenic soya tolerant to Roundup, and corn tolerant to Roundup, or BT corn, which is producing its own insecticide, and also canola, which is grown, and cotton, which is grown here. But that's it.
Okay.
I mean, according to the last statistics that were 2 weeks ago, internationally, this makes 100% of the GM feed that are grown in the world.
Back to you, Paul. What are your criticisms of the work that Gilles and his colleagues have done?
We don't focus on Professor Seralini in any way, but when he does publish work, we have a duty to have a look at that work and assess it as comprehensively as we can. I might say that we are networked with our regulatory colleagues around the world. So we're in regular touch with the FDA and Health Canada Food Directorate and even the...
Well, has your alliance, has this international network, come up with an argument against Gilles?
Well, yes, I think unanimously we have. We believe that the research that his group has done is flawed in its design. We also believe it's certainly overinterpreted and even misinterpreted by his group. And many papers have been written, not by us, not by Fazance, but other very good academics within the world have been highly critical of the work that that he has produced, and he knows that, I think. But that is the world that he lives in the world of academics. They're very critical of each other.
True. Right of reply, Gilles.
Yeah, it's normal in between academics to be critical of each other. I mean, more than 1,200 scientists all over the world recognized my work, and I'm the only one, in fact, concerning this matter to publish in international peer-reviewed journals about this effect of GMOs and pesticides. And I noticed that FSNs or Dr. Paul Rand didn't publish any peer-reviewed paper in the international scientific literature, as well as FDA or FSN. So what we are criticizing is the way they work, because, I mean, how can you stand that you are feeding rats only 90 days with this stuff and to say that it's good for all the world and people and Australian people, the kids, the elderly people, during their entire life, because these products do contain pesticides. And we think it's not, it's flawed, this expertise, because it's not enough. More than that, the agencies don't want to make a transparency on the raw data of the blood analysis of the rats. And that's a real problem. So we had to go in court, as I said, in order to have these data. So we think it's really insufficiently, and that any criticism of this work, they say that the science is flawed. But they never published that. They just blog on their website, but they never published anything in their peer-reviewed journals. I mean, I checked 10 minutes ago on the web, and Dr. Paul Brandt never published any scientific peer-reviewed paper to say that why GMOs are safe. They just say that the composition, the crude composition is the same that usual food, and that the 90-day tests are sufficient. But we see some liver and kidney effects in the 90-day test on the rats, so that's unsafe to give that to all the population.
Paul, let me ask you this. Put the GMO foods aside. Are you convinced that Roundup in and of itself does not have toxic effects on humans?
Look, that's an issue not for our agency, but for the Australian Pesticides and Veterinary Medicines Authority.
But surely there has to be overlap. There has to be overlap.
Just let me finish. In conjunction with the Office of Chemical Safety in the Department of Health, those people look at chemicals such as Roundup. So Roundup is one of the most tried and tested chemicals that we know of, and there are certainly
that's wrong.
There are certainly studies that have been done in animals, and Professor Cerulini knows very well that normal toxicology studies have been done on animals on Roundup. So there are safe levels set called maximum residue levels.
No, they are not done on Roundup. You should know that.
Sorry, acceptable daily intakes,
But these data are flawed.
Okay. We're running out of time. Back to you, Gilles. What about the toxic effects of Roundup? You dispute
it's a very important problem for public health, sir, because you must know that Roundup has never been tested as such, but it's only glyphosate, a chemical compound of Roundup, that has been tested during 2 years on rats. And it's the same thing for pesticides. The whole formulation, which is way more toxic than the glyphosate, which is the chemical compound in it, because it's a mixture of chemical compounds with adjuvants, have chronic effects, including the so-called endocrine disrupting effect. That means effects on the hormonal system. But the agencies don't want to say that because they are quite linked today to the data from Monsanto or others, or the applicants, as they are called.
I don't think we're going to resolve this issue tonight,
no.
Paul, but let me ask you one final question. Why do biotech companies want their GMO research to be kept confidential if there's nothing detrimental?
Are you asking me that
Yes,
question?
I'm asking you that.
As you probably know, in Australia, in the FSAN system, all of their data is not confidential. It's all totally transparent, and it's available on our website. So we're one of the only agencies in the world, although I know that in the US, the USDA also has all that data available to the public. So it's never been confidential. They have nothing to hide whatsoever.
Gentlemen, I thank you. Dr. Paul Brent, Chief Scientist with Food Standards Australia New Zealand, and Professor Gilles Severlini, Molecular Biologist at Caen University in France and leader of the research team from the Committee of Independent Research and Information on Genetic Engineering. And this is LNL on RN, and we're now going to go voyaging with the Zen Brothers.